Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today will be kind of a what we would call a potpourri or a mixture of different things. So what I'd like to do is start out with some news items that you don't get on the lamestream, brainless media that we have in the world today, and things that you don't even get on some of those who consider themselves solid right-wing shouters of truth, whoever that may apply to. Here's one. Now, Jerome Corsi, how many have heard of Jerome Corsi? Okay. He's the one who led the charge against, who was a Democrat, what was that, Kerry? Mm-hmm. Okay. And wrote the book, Unfit for Command. Now, he puts out a newsletter, and he put this out the 10th of October. And the headline reads, 420 banks demand one world currency. You ever heard of that on the regular news? Okay. And he has Jim Corsi's Red Alert premium online newsletter published by the current number one bestseller author, WND staff writer, and director of financial services at Guilford Securities. The Institute of International Finance, a group that represents 420 of the world's largest banks and finance houses, has issued yet another call for a one-world global currency. See, because there are too many pitfalls in everything that's going on. Here in America, we're facing possibly a depression. So they're printing money and buying the bonds to try and stave that off. In China and in India, they're looking at having to restrain inflation so it doesn't gallop away. See, because all of the funds, not all, but a good number of the funds that were given to the banks during all of this crisis, they used it to make money by investing in the overseas markets, or what they call the emerging markets. So they invested it in Brazil and India and China and so forth. Now, they've got too much money over there chasing too few of goods, and so inflation is going up. So one of the leading ones who asked this, gave this out, Dillard encouraged a return to the G20 commitment. Now, remember, we talked about, and I've talked about it from the day that President George W. Bush set that up in October 2008. Remember when the crisis came? Boom. And they said the market is ready to crash. Everything, we're going to lose everything. And they never asked the question, who was doing the selling? It was done deliberately. Now, just like I pointed out last week, you didn't hear it here, but I was able to bring it out down south, that remember in 1987 when they had that crash, boom, 500 points in one day. Okay, that was a deliberate test for the new computer system for the DDT, the Depository Trust Company. Okay? Bam. To see if they could handle it. Now, I'll just mention here, as I covered last week, the most important thing that the Fed has to do is keep the stock market up, and hopefully to keep the bond market up. But if you watch any of those and know the interest rating things, this last week, 30-year long bonds, now what is called par is 100%, dollar for dollar. When it's at a premium, then you pay above par. When there is greater risk, you pay below par, and you get a higher interest rate. So for the past 2 weeks, the 30-year long bonds have been selling between 94.65 and 95.2, with an interest rate of 4 point something, meaning this. In the first year that you have the long bond, you make 9% on it. Now, they're having to do that to get people to buy the bonds. Okay? And you're going to be surprised because I'm going to read something that I told you that they do it this way. But I want you to understand they have to keep the stock market up. So it's going to go up, it's going to go down. It's going to go up, it's going to go down. It's going to go up, it's going to get down. And all the talking heads on CNBC when they come in, oh, yeah, the market's turning around. Oh, now is a good time to buy. Why? Because in order for the Federal Reserve to loan the trillions of dollars that they have loaned, they have to use the $33 trillion Depository Trust and Clearinghouse because they hold title to all the original bonds and stocks. Everybody else has beneficial ownership. They can buy, they can sell, but they don't own. So now, if you don't understand that, listen to the second sermon that I did on the financial affairs. Okay? So the G20 is the instrument to bring all the banks in line. Because if you're going to have a one-world economy, you need a one-world currency. And so it's going to come about. Now, this will result in quite a benefit for going toward world government. Because they're now beginning to see that with the modern communications that we have, and each of us, you know, cell phones and email and computers, see, what happens here in this instant can be known around the world in 3 seconds. Never before communication like this. So they are seeing that politically, it's almost useless to try and change the beliefs of the majority of people in these countries to elect in the super international elite. Now, there is a super international elite that want to rule the world. So that's why they have to have a world bank and a world currency. Because if you have the currency, then it doesn't matter what your politics are. And if you have everything centralized in a world bank, and as I've mentioned, they will probably formulate that by buying a lot of that debt and use that as assets for the backing for the world currency, then you can control everyone without having to have training of the mind or anything like that, especially if it's digital. Because if it's digital, if you exist in the world computer, you're alive. If you're not registered in the world computer with digital money, you don't exist. Just like the movie, Enemy of the State. How many have seen that one there? Interesting. See? You watch it. Okay. So they're going to be moving for a world currency. All right, let's see some other things here. Cell phone trap. There are a lot of things you need to be careful of with the cell phone. Don't put it in your pocket. That lowers your sperm count. Don't put it in your pocket up here because it will affect your heart. Because, you see, those are all run by microwaves. And when they're activated, it's like a little microwave oven. Heats up the cells. And when you hold it up to your ear, especially with children, they have run scans on children while listening to cell phones, and it heats up all the cells around there. So the longer that you use a cell phone and don't have any device, I don't know if those devices are any good, but whatever. You should limit your cell phone use and keep it off while you carry it on your person. And if you have it clipped on your side right here, guess what that's right next to? And if you have it on all the time, that's right next to the liver. So you need to think about all of those things, see? Okay? Let's see. Swedes who have used cell phones the most and for the longest times have more malignant brain tumors than others. Why are we all of a sudden getting brain tumors? Everywhere. After a decade of use, the risk of brain tumors doubles. Similar results were found by scientists in Israel, Finland, Russia, and England. Hardell also found that teenagers using cell phones end up after a decade with four times more brain cancers. I'm all for teenagers not having any cell phones or have anything to text their friends on. Get your brains in gear and think and learn how to spell, learn how to read, learn how to use your mind. Oh, but my friends. Yes, 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 your friends. But what about God? Need to think about that as early age as possible. Here's another little short article. What have the Chinese been saying? Oh, we're not going to buy any more treasury bonds from America. Mm-hmm. United States top creditor, China, increased its stockpile of American debt in September. So don't believe everything you hear. It's propagandized to keep the people in power. Okay? I'll save this one for later. Very seldom do I have jokes on the video, so here's one. The arrogance of authority. DEA officer stops at a ranch in Texas and talks with the old rancher. He tells the rancher, I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs. The rancher says, okay, but don't go on that field over there. And he points out the location. A DEA officer verbally explodes, saying, Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me. Reaching in his back pocket, he removes his badge and proudly displays it to the rancher. See this badge? This badge means I'm allowed to go wherever I wish on any land. No questions asked, no answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand? So the rancher nods politely and apologizes and goes about his chores. Short time later, the rancher hears loud screams and sees the DEA officer running for his life, chased by the ranch's big Santa Gertrudis bull. There's a picture of it here. With every step, the bull is gaining ground on the officer, and it seems likely he'll get gored before he reaches safety. The officer is clearly terrified. The rancher throws down his tool and runs to the fence and yells at the top of his lungs, Your badge! Show him your badge!
I hope you put that badge out quick enough.
That story is no bull, but it has a lot in it. Okay, now they're having trouble with the wind farm because they're killing the eagles with those big windmill farms. So what are they going to do now? What are they going to do? Yeah. Really? Oh, yes. Okay. Really? It's a good thing it wasn't big enough to pick up your car and take it away. Okay. Now, on the serious side. You've heard me talk about the mark of the beast with an invisible tattoo, right? Okay. Now, the Greek means on and in. But if you put it on, but tattoo it individually, it becomes in because it's part of you. It's not like a glove you can peel off or Band-Aid you can pull off. Now listen to this. We don't understand what these scientists are doing in their secret little laboratories and all the things that they're experimenting with. So this will give you just a little idea here. Spanish researchers want to tag human embryos with barcodes. So this is so we can know who it comes from and who it goes to. Isn't that lovely? Make sure that we get the right parents with the implant and all of that. Yes, indeed. So they're doing it with mice embryos. All right. Eurozone is in bad need of an undertaker financially. And it is. It's going to get worse. We're going to find out that the United States will be in better shape than Europe. Here's another one. New York Times article. This is the one. Right here. A secretive bank elite rules trading in derivatives. In other words, they rule it. How do they do that? Remember I've said it's all planned to go up, to go down, to go up, to go down? Okay. That's only one little aspect. On the third Wednesday of every month, this is from the New York Times article, December 11, 2010, secretive elite rules trading in derivatives. On every third Wednesday of every month, the nine members of an elite Wall Street society gather in Midtown Manhattan. The men share a common goal to protect the interest of big banks in the vast market of derivatives, one of the most profitable and controversial fields in finance. And that's the one that was taking down Wall Street in 2008. They also share a common secret. The details of their meeting, even their identities, have been strictly confidential. Drawn from giants like J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Stanley Morgan, the bankers form a most powerful committee that helps oversee trading in derivatives, instruments which, like insurance, are used to hedge risk. So, you buy insurance, and then someone takes out a derivative for so much, saying, based on the risk, will they have to pay out on the insurance, or will the insurance not have to be paid out? And they do it likewise with derivatives with buying oil. That's one of the reasons Southwest Airlines has been so effective. They bought all of their oil for years, years, years in advance at $40 a barrel. That's why their prices have been able to stay so cheap. While the big airlines didn't do that, and what happened? Went up, 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 and pretty soon they couldn't afford it. Okay? Let's go on here. So these instruments are used to hedge risk. In theory, this group exists to safeguard the integrity of the multi-million dollar market. And it's probably multi-trillion, not million, excuse me. In practice, it also defends the dominance of the big banks. That's why the little banks are being gobbled up. Banks in this group, which is affiliated with a new derivatives clearinghouse, isn't that nice, have fought to block other banks from entering the market, and they are also trying to thwart efforts to make full information on prices and fees freely available. See, now, if people don't believe in a conspiracy, then you don't believe in Satan and the devil. And this is one little group meeting one little place having to do with one part of a gigantic market. Here's what derivatives do. They shift the risk from one party to another, and they offer many benefits, enabling people to sell fixed-rate plans without having to bear all the risk that oil prices could suddenly rise. Have you noticed, I don't know if you have or you pay attention to it, but I do all the time, they said back in September that for the rest of the year, oil was going to go between $80 and $90 a barrel. So they've edged it up, and it's gotten up to 88 and back to 87, and then they'll have one bad day, and it'll go down to 84, and then it'll go up again, see? And all of that is rigged, just like it is here. The super elite who control everything are rigging everything. So you can be guaranteed there's going to be a world currency to come. Okay. Derivatives are also big business on Wall Street. Banks collect many billions of dollars annually in undisclosed fees associated with these instruments, an amount that almost certainly would be lower if there were more competition and transparent prices control. Just how much derivatives trading cost ordinary Americans is uncertain. The size and reach of this market has rapidly grown over the past two decades. Pension funds today use derivatives to hedge investments. So they buy bonds from a certain company or certain country. They buy stocks out of various different countries, and then they go to the derivative markets and they say, now we want to buy a guarantee for this investment. And that's what the derivative does. And it pays billions and trillions of dollars. Big banks influence the rules governing derivatives through a variety of industry groups. The bank's latest point of influence are the clearinghouses like the ICE Trust. Now, I don't know what that is, which holds monthly meetings with the nine bankers. All right. What we're going to learn, a lot of people ask the question, when Christ returns, why does he have to nearly destroy everything? Because it's going to be so awful and terrible what men have done that is the only way you can begin to start to clean it up. Destroy it. Bury it. Get rid of it. All right? More pressure from the educational elite. Here's another story. That a Augusta, Georgia University graduate student alleges school officials demand that she be re-educated in morality, giving her the choice of giving up her Christian beliefs on homosexuality or being expelled from the school's counseling program. That'll end up in the Supreme Court. Okay? Let's see some other things here. Okay? Here's the article on the Chinese copper mine in Afghanistan. I think I'll put some excerpts in this in my next letter. Well, what happened was this. Remember I mentioned the Chinese were awarded a big contract to mine in Afghanistan. And a copper mine, how many here have ever seen the Kennecott copper mine in Utah? Okay. It is a huge hole in the ground, more than a mile across and a mile deep. And they have been mining ore there. And what they do, you've seen these giant trucks, they dynamite all the ore that they want to get out along this level. And there are levels and levels and levels and levels and levels as it goes down to the bottom, you see. So they start up here, and then they go down, and they go down, and they go down, and they go down, and then they go down. Then they get a little deeper in the middle. Then they start at the top, and they go down, and they go down, and they go down, and they go down. So what they do, they have these big scoopers that can scoop up 85 tons of raw earth, and they dump it in these big trucks. You've seen these huge trucks? They use them up in Canada, too, for the oil sands. Then they drive these down and dump them, and they also have trains. In addition to the trucks, they have trains, and they have these big ore cars, and they dump the ore in it. Long trains, and then it goes down the mountain, about 5 or 6 miles around to the smelter. And the way they process it, it's quite a thing. They leave all of the cars on the side, and then they have another little locomotive push in each one of the ore cars singly. And then they have it on the track where they can strap it down and just turn the whole ore car upside down and empty out everything that is in it. Then it goes into the conveyors and crushers. And they take these rocks of whatever size and they crush them down to 1/32nd of an inch going through the things which filter it out. This goes into the smelter. Now, they get lots of copper, but what is the biggest moneymaker of this mine? Gold. So China is there. Now they're stymied because there is a 2,600-year-old Buddhist monastery right on the site. Not interesting. They can't get in there yet. Okay. So the Chinese are trying to have them hurry, 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 you know, excavate, get it out. The Chinese want to get them in and out in 3 years. And the geologists want to be there for 15 years. Okay. Now, we don't know how it's going to go, but once they start that, they're going to run all the ore back to China to smelt it in Western China. You wait and see. Remember what I talked about Afghanistan and the Khyber Pass? It's exactly what they're going to do. Plus, China also has on the drawing boards high-speed trains that you can get to Europe in 2 days. One going in a northern path through Manchuria and on into Moscow and then down to the European Union. The other one comes through western, comes down from Manchuria on the north side of the Chinese border, and then comes through Kazakhstan, Turkestan, Turkmenistan, and all of those stands, and then comes on in and goes into Europe, probably through Georgia and the Ukraine. And they have everything to do it. They have the equipment. They can lay that rail. They can lay miles and miles of rail every single day. They have huge machines which sit on the track and others which bring these huge, long rails. And they have a machine ahead of this that puts down all of the ties. So they can lay miles every day. So they'll be able to build this thing pretty fast. Speaking of China, not only do they have the high-speed train, if you watch CNBC, there's a special report on trash. And China is drowning in trash because they don't know how to take care of it like we do here in the United States. And it is really a polluter. So between inflation and trash and sewerage, their leap into the 20th century is going to have a long pause while they have to get everything ready. Otherwise, people are going to start dropping dead of plagues and polluted air over in China. That's how bad it is. All right. Here's a nice little wonderful thing. Breakthrough to help people forget traumatic past events. Okay. Mad scientists develop a pill to erase memories by removing proteins from the brain. Oh, isn't that lovely? Without pills, it's called Alzheimer's disease, isn't it? They say they're only using it in mice for now. Oh, how wonderful that is. But the intended use is on humans. They already are spinning this as a wonderful aid to help people forget bad memories and how much memory could be erased. Will it affect human identity, which is based in memory? Could it be used against a person's will? Oh, they'd never do that. If it can be misused or abused, it will. Well, I won't go through the article. Okay? Save these others for another time. But that brings you up to date on the news. Now, how many of you heard any of these things on the news? If you depend on your news coming from your television station or your radio station or the talk shows will give you more. And if you have a computer and you don't get online and get some news from some of the original sources, you're not going to have a clue as to what's going on. See? Okay. Now let's shift gears. Before services, we were talking about the goodness that human nature has. And there are people who want to be the best that they can be. Isn't that one of the ads for the Marines, be the best you can be? Mm-hmm. We just don't take anybody. You are the select few. I mean, and when you give your life, it's a wonderful thing because you're keeping all of these good, loving, honest politicians in office and you're saving the world for freedom. Okay. Also, the good things that people do. All the charitable relief, that's good. It's good to help your neighbor. It's good to do those things. That's correct. But they never ask the question, why do these things happen? Is there a God that maybe causes a lot of these things? Oh, well, God would never do that. You know, wait till the heavens roll back as a scroll and you're going to see what Christ is going to do. See? Okay. Look at the things. How many things that have been done in government that started off to be good ended up being a colossal failure? Okay. Now let's look at religion. We're right here 1 week before Christmas time. We have all these wonderful songs singing, and isn't it interesting they get all the good positive songs for Christmas so that you'll be sure to get in a Christmas mood and go spend money so that all of these corporations can make money, right? No, it's not for that. We're honoring Christ. Do you honor Christ with selfishness? Oh, well, we do it in a small way, and we reverence Christ because it's his birthday. Well, you have to remember Cain. Never forget Cain. Let's go back there. Genesis 4. Here's the very first lesson in the Bible. It's not what any human being thinks or their good intentions that they have. It matters, what did God say? Now, you can take sin and you can dress it up lovely, sweet, fine, wonderful, great. Everything is marvelous. That's what they do with Christmas. But God didn't command it. It's not in the Bible. Just because the Bible talks about the birth of Christ has nothing to do with Christmas. It's like this. God has sent out billions and billions of Bibles in the world. His personal message to each one of us, and every word, is God-breathed. Okay. But how many people really read it and understand it and want to obey it? You know, people come along and say, well, you know, this commandment's old-fashioned and this other commandment is old-fashioned, you know. Really, in the... And then they're talking about the post-Christian age. Have you heard of that? That means when Christianity now is without God. Remember the book? What was it? 9 years ago now? 8 years ago? Christianity Without God. How many have read that book? Whoo! You ought to see if you can get it and read it. That's an eye-opener. And these are all the religious elite that are doing it. Okay. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 3, because this is, as we covered with the if statements, this is the fundamental thrust of the Bible and what God expects from us. Okay? It came to pass that Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Question. Does God require fruit of the ground to be brought to him? Yes, first fruits, right? Belongs to him. And the firstling of all the animals belong to him. See, because a lot of people say, well, you know, they didn't have the Ten Commandments back here because there's no record of it. Really? Is murder one of the commandments? Yes. Is having no other gods before you one of the commandments? Yes. Well, God has certain commandments to do things. Okay? And people look at that and say, well, Cain must have been good-hearted to do this. Why was God so angry with Cain? Now notice what Abel did. And Abel also brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat of it. Now where do you find detailed instructions concerning firstlings? Oh, in the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy, don't you? See? Now let's ask a question. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. Would he give one law to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and all their descendants and then give Israel another law? Of course not. Now notice, and the Lord had regard unto Abel and his offering. Why? Because he did it according to God's commands. He's called righteous, isn't he? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It is the very first one mentioned. It says, by faith, Abel brought an offering to God, and his righteousness speaks unto this day. Which means what? It's according to the commands of God. Is there any righteousness apart from God? I mean, even the righteousness that men do and they're good, any good has to come back sooner or later to God. Even the human goodness that we have without God's Spirit. Did not have regard to Cain and his offering. And Cain was exceedingly angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, there's that word again. Meaning what? What is well? Equivalent to right. If you do right, shall you not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. Now, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is lawlessness. And what is the greatest lawlessness that people do? They want to come along and add or take away from the commandments of God. Now, if God gives rules and commandments, he alone can change or modify them, not men. That's why Christ came, to show the true spiritual meaning of all the laws and commandments of God. You see? Sin lies at the door. Now, notice this. We're not helpless to sin, because God says, its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. How? By resisting and rejecting it. Correct? Yes. Notice what happens. If you don't repent and you store up that bitterness, and of course this is directly from God. Cain probably said, now look, I'm the firstborn. I'm supposed to get all the blessings. And why does God treat me this way? And who is this Abel, my brother, to come in and get favor with God and have standing with God, and God won't accept me? So, what happened? He killed him. Does a little leaven leaven the whole lump? Yes, indeed. Sure it does. Now, let's go ahead and take a little break, and then we'll look a little bit at Job. Job is really quite a study, and I think in the faithful version, it's a whole lot easier to read than the King James. Let's take a break.